Gemara Tanan tells us in these two places, Yimadab Chavches, very, very in the Masachas Kiddushin, Avraham Avinu Kim Kal Torah Kula Ashonit. Avraham Avinu kept Kal Torah Kula. So it's a simple reading of several Pesukim Chumash. Ramban already begins to ask, and the Midrashim, Gemara says about Avraham Avinu, and their Midrashim that expanded, not to Avraham Avinu, but Yavis. Ramban already asks, there's some pretty glaring exceptions to that rule. Like Yaakovinu violates what for us would be Gili Arroyos, Yehorg Vayavar. So he married simultaneously two sisters. And there are other examples also. So there are different approaches. So number one, the Chuvus Rama, the number of the Radak, and some other Rishonim understand that Gemara didn't mean it literally. I mean, they actually kept the mitzvah. We keep mitzvahs, but I mean that they were plugged into the idea of mitzvahs, plugged into the spirit of mitzvahs. Ramah on a tshuva writes that it's only Avraham Avinu. Only Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvahs. Doesn't say that Yaakov kept all the mitzvahs. Likely Yaakov kept many mitzvahs. Avraham Avinu kept all of them. But among those who mamash misyaches to the kasha more directly, so one approach is that of the Ramban himself, who says, look, they were volunteering mitzvahs. So they volunteered the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, because mitzvahs are that much more meaningful in Eretz Yisrael than chutzlars. So we live al hachama and Torah, so we're obligated to keep mitzvahs, no matter where we are. But the others were volunteering to keep mitzvahs. They only kept it where it's most meaningful, which is Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu married the two sisters that happened outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the other examples also, Ramban points out, when the others are not keeping halacha, that's outside Eretz Yisrael. It's one way of resolving the stira. Another way of resolving the stira directly is that of Chaim V'Lashner. I think he writes his Nefesh HaChaim, I don't remember for sure. Maybe he's in his Perush on Pirkei Avos. Rav Chaim V'Lashner says that it depends whether, he says, but they're all volunteering. Since they're volunteering, in general, they're Makan Kal Torah Kula, but if they saw that it was based on their understanding of what was going on in the higher worlds, that would be spiritually more beneficial for them to violate the din. Yaakov Avinu understood that there was great spiritual value in both Rachel and Leah being imos of Kal Yisrael. He was accessed to ideas that were beyond us, but we can understand that in loose terms. Rachel and Leah both had very important roles to play as being imos of Kal Yisrael. So since he was only volunteering to keep mitzvahs, it was called the Matan Torah, wasn't binding, so he made an exception and said, you know, make a cost-benefit analysis, and we'll marry the two sisters. Rav Chaim V'Lashner points out, la'achar Matan Torah, we're no longer empowered to make those decisions, because we're not volunteering. La'achar Matan Torah, halacha is normative, halacha is binding. I'm not empowered to say, well, but I think that I'll have such great spiritual gains from violating the din, that's not up to me to say. But he says, call them out in Torah, they're only volunteering, so they not like Ramban, they only volunteered as a ruler. It's all, but they volunteered except when they had a spiritual cheshbon otherwise. And finally, the Maharal, this is where we left off with yesterday, Maharal and Gur Aryeh is Maharal's super commentary, the Perish on the Perish. Rashi wrote a Perish in Chumash, and the Gur Aryeh is the Maharal's Pirush on Pirush Rashi Al Torah. So in Parshas VaYigash of Shaul ben Akhnanis, Maharal writes, and he gets involved in this whole discussion. And again, we said so far, you have the Radaka, Rama. Radak says, you misunderstood the whole Gemara, it didn't mean literally. And Rama says, you misunderstood the Gemara really only meant Avraham Avinu. Right? And then you have Ramban, Chaim V'Lashner, Maharal. And Ramban said, yes, Abbas Kima Kal Torah Kula, but only in Eretz Yisrael. Chaim V'Lashner says, Abbas Kima Kal Torah Kula, except when they made an exception, because after all, they were only volunteering to begin with. And finally, Maharal says, along the lines of the Ramban, they were Makayim Kal Torah Kula, but only one subset. Not Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laaretz, but only mitzvahs, not others. There are Makai says, if you look through Chazal, they talk about the others doing mitzvah say. But Maharal thinks it's never about avoiding Yisur. It's maybe somewhat debatable, but that's the Maharal's theory. And what's relevant for us is not is the concept that lies behind this theory. He says, why would that make any sense? What's the svar b'davar to say they were volunteering mitzvahs and but not volunteering to keep mitzvahs? Einam suv yosef, but not volunteering to whatever it is. The morale says the idea which we left off yesterday. He says, if I'm a chuyif, if there's a din I'm a chuyif to keep, sorry, if it's a mitzvah, I have to do the mitzvah. I'm like, do the mitzvah, I have a kiyum mitzvah. If I didn't do the mitzvah, now that I missed out on kiyum mitzvah, I was mevatel. Mevatel the mitzvah, it's a problem. I was a chuyif to bench, I didn't bench, give up. I was mevatel the mitzvah bench. If I am bound by a certain adera, I'm a kohen. Kohen's not allowed to be metamel lemeis. So if I'm a metamel lemeis, poison. It's spiritual poison. I'm doing the wrong thing. So I better make sure to avoid the Beis HaKvaris. So that I'll avoid the problem. Maral says, that's true when it's a din that you're required to keep. But he says, but let's say you're talking about in the mitzvah of Yosef. So he says, there's a big difference between a mitzvah and a vera. If you have a Jewish woman who is not mechuyeves to shek luluv. He says, look, if she chooses not to shek luluv, no fault, no cost, nothing's wrong, she wasn't obligated to. But if she chooses to shake lulav, so she accomplished something. She got a mitzvah. That's why we call it a kiyum. A kiyum a mitzvah. It's fine if she doesn't. But if she does, there was something gained. It says, let's say a non-Kohen is going to volunteer to not walk into Beis HaKvaris. And not a Kohen, he's not a Nazir. Or a woman is going to volunteer not to cut off her pants. Right? Only men are obligated to leave Pas HaRosh, and only men are forbidden, I should say, to cut away the Pas HaRosh with a shaver or a razor or a scissor or anything, and only men are forbidden to shave their faces with a razor. Let's say a woman is growing a little bit of hair on her face, or she has Pas HaRosh, certainly, but she says she's going to be machmir not to cut it off. There's nothing wrong with being machmir, but there's nothing gained either. It's not meaningful. Because if you do it, if you decide to cut off the Yisrael decides to walk in the Beis HaKvaris, nothing wrong. And by not going in, there's no kiyum. They just happen to not go in. There's no gain. That's what Maharal Zvelp said. You got to wrap your mind around a little bit. He said, it makes sense to volunteer a mitzvah, but it doesn't make sense to volunteer avoiding avera. Because when you do a mitzvah, even if you weren't obligated to, you got something. You walked into the kiyum. But to volunteer to avoid an Aveira, if you would have done the Aveira, nothing wrong. For you, it's not poisonous. For the non-calling, there's nothing wrong going to Beis HaKvaris. For a woman, there's nothing wrong with cutting away the pace. And you avoid it, there's no kiyum in avoiding it. If I'm obligated not to cut, if I'm forbidden to cut my pace, if I'm forbidden to walk to Beis HaKvaris, there's no kiyum that I have by avoiding it, but I'm avoiding a problem. If I would have walked the Beis HaKvaris, if I would have cut my payas, that would be poison. So I'm steering clear of poison. No kiyum. So if it's taka poison for me, if it's taka aveira for me, it's like it. I better steer clear. But if it's not aveira for me anyways, Maral says, it doesn't really mean anything. There's no kiyum in volunteering in Yisrael. Maral says, so Shechter suggests, that might be the pshat in this Relezer Mimetz. The Relezer Mimetz had that very surprising turnaround. Remember that Tosfos Yisham in the Kasha said sort of like a natural svar would be averus are more chamer than mitzvahs. Violating aver is worse than being about a mitzvah. It's worse to eat a cheeseburger than to eat kosher food and not bench. Right? So, and the Teretz was no, there's only thing about mitzvahs. So what changed? What was the motion of Nahavim to Maskana? So Hashemtzah suggests in a footnote in Bikra Tzom that the idea here is because you're looking for the kiyum. Because to volunteer, apparently Re'im understood. Again, we don't accept his application of this concept. But the concept that lies is maybe a very extreme nafkamina of the concept. But the concept that underlies Re'im is that the mitzvah of when Chazal Misakin Chinuch Ketanah b'mitzvahs, it wasn't just that they should practice. It was they should actually do meaningful things. Perhaps the reason for the takana is to get kids used to it, perhaps. Maybe the motivation or the telos The goal might be to get kids to practice, but what the mitzvah, the din that Chazal invented, they created, was not just to do Jewish, but to actually do meaningful mitzvahs, to keep halacha meaningfully. So that's why the Reb Lezvi Mitz suggests that, okay, so then maybe it's only mitzvahs, maybe it's not averus, because you do a mitzvah, you're not mechuyev, there's a real kiyum there. But to avoid aver, which isn't us anyhow, so if the way Chazal construed and constructed the Din Rabban of Chinuch was we're going to mandate that you have to volunteer. I need 3 volunteers, you and you. Right? They're sort of like requiring volunteering. It's sort of like a funny, it's like planned spontaneity, a little bit of oxymoron. But if we're mandating what's essentially volunteerism, so then, but Lezvi Mitz said, maybe that tells me, like the Maharal, right here we're using the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, that concept, it's only Kiyum. And then I take questions a moment. We saw this Shita of the only Kiyum also expresses itself in another place. And that is a mitzvah, Shalom. The Heksher. Right? If I do a mitzvah, that's not totally kosher. I left out some of the pure Tevim. And that was a machlokas between whom and whom? Or between who and whom? The mood would be a little less grammatical. Who argues over whether you have to do chinuch with full details or not? Is he?
The Ritva and that hairs on the Rosh.
Oh, gevaldik. The Ritva and the Agos Ashri, quoting or Zorua, quoting a Rava. Which side does the Ritva take? Zishne?
Yishne?
Right, the Ritva is the one who says, you need Heksher Gama. Right, and he says, let's take a look inside. He says, the Ritva and Beis on the Beis and Masach HaSukkah says if we're bringing a riot to the dinim of Sukkah from what? By the time the Gemara is done. And the shock of it to the Beis on Beis on the Beis. The riot is from the fact that the Chachamim allowed Heleni Amalka to have her children under Bar Mitzvah eating such a tall Sukkah. It must be the Sukkah's kashrut. This is what you see. The Hashaminim, the Kaddish and the Chavkos of the Mitzvahs, Vasos of Mitzvah, Hechsher Gavur, Hechsher Gavur Kigadol. Or Tzarech, Vasos of Hechsher Gavur Kigadol. It has to be done with all the details. It has to be totally kosher. Because if the idea is just, what will be the other possibility?
Just show them that this exists. It's nice.
Practice, right? Practice. If it's just about practice, so then, you know, give the kid 11, something like that. And then the question is, what does it mean to have a chinuch set? They get the chinuch lulav. So the Ritva says, chinuch lulav doesn't mean it's not kosher. Chinuch lulav might be, maybe it's a little less mehudar, and maybe it's just practically smaller for smaller hands. But the Ritva says, chinuch set of Avraham must be totally kosher. Maybe it's not with chumras, but it has to be totally kosher. Otherwise, there's no chinuch. Question is, well, why not? The kid's practicing. So what does it matter? When you're a gadol, you got to keep the mitzvah. The kid's just practicing. And the Ritva, the Chora, is working with the same idea. That perhaps the motivation for the din was practice, or maybe not. But either way, the nature of the din, the ofan ha-din, the tamat ha-takana might have been for the kid to practice, but certainly the tzuras ha-takana, the ofan ha-takana, what the din that Chazal actually created was that the kid has to actually do mitzvahs. So if it's shalom b'hechsher, tell you different. You saw that the ra'avan seems to, as you said, seems to disagree. Why? You have the gemara daf mem vav that the Rosh immediately quotes here in Perek Daled Siman Vav. Amar Zayir look me ishul yanuka v'yoma tava kama. Zayir says you better be careful. The first day of Yontif, you better not give your lulav, be makti your lulav to the child. So he can be Yosef Lubin Esther because Because
back.
Right, because he's a black hole. He's a black hole. He can be kona, but he can't be matna. Once he owns it, it's never coming back. I mean, he can allow you to take it, but it won't be yours, and you require first day of Yom Tov, require shalachem. Right now, Rashi says the first day before you even yotze. It's also possible that Rebbe means in chutz laretz, even after your yotze, what's going to be for the next day? Midravanan, we require shalachem Yom Tov sheni also. Now the Hagadah Asher quotes the Ra'avan, quotes the Or Zeruah, Aleph Zion is Or Zeruah, according to the Ra'avan, Rabbi Eliezer Bar Nasa, one of the early Chachmi Ashkenaz, Tofes in Atinok, he says, what you should do is, so what's the solution? The kid wants to take a little Nestrik, we don't want it to be Konet. So what does Ra'avan say? You hold it together. Right? Either hold it together, or so then they give it to him. You put it away, and the kid knows where to take it from. So that the Rabban's assuming that if you hand it to him, the implication is that it's yours to take. Yours to take possession of, and then give out what's going to be. Because then once it's shalom, it's never going to be shali. That's very nice. If the only person whose mitzvah is on the line is the adults, I have to make sure that I'm yotze. So it may not become shalom if I need to be shali. But of course, the problem is, Echron points out, well, how about the kid? But how he would say? It's not shalom. It's not shalom. So the Ravan seems to say, mitzvah shalom behechsher. Ravan seems to. Ravan seems to disagree. Right? He seems to say, no, shalom b'hechsher is fine. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. By the way, what would he do with the Gemara and Sukkot that base? What do you mean? But the Gemara by the great point. The Gemara is bringing a raya to the details of Hilchah Sukkah from a Chinuch Sukkah. Don't you see a Chinuch Sukkah has to be told with the Kavashur? How could anyone disagree with the ritual's proof? What do you say, Ephraim? Oh, perhaps. Let's think of where this is coming from. The reason, the rationale for the Ra'avan to say that, no, I don't care about the details, as I was saying before, to say that it's really just about practice. Chinuch is about practice. Chinuch is about practice. If it's all about hargola, just getting used to it, so then I understand, as long as you get used to it, you practice the mitzvahs. When you'll be old, you'll practice the mitzvahs too. So then what? As the Rashi talks about, maybe it's just about practice, at least in the Havmina. Maybe it's just about practice. Well, if it's about practice, so you don't need all the details, but even the Ravana would agree, something that he'll notice now is a problem. If you have, I said before, a lemon, but Lamaisa, you give a 10-year-old a lemon, he knows it's not an esrog. That's terrible, chinuch, because you're raising him to believe that he can shake a lemon on Sukkos. In other words, even the Rabban agrees that it has to be at least a good imitation, a detail that the kid won't pick up on, that we can, according to Rabban, that's the machlokas. So the child is probably not attuned to the fact, oh, I'll be. He doesn't know enough about the Basra or Kiddush. Oh, I wasn't Konet. It's probably not even, he's not aware of those details. But if you see that the Sukkah is as tall as an apartment building, Ravan says, maybe that's a detail you would pick up on. Right? You remember that, like a skyscraper of a Sukkah. That's an interesting question. We say, the kid's going to know the difference between 19 Amos and 25 Amos. On the other hand, maybe yes. Maybe yes. That's the way the great ritual was Raya. Once you understand the longest behind the Ravan, that it's a question of hargala, of practice, then you realize that their machlokas is limited. Not can I do it totally puzzle. It's where it's puzzle in an unnoticeable way. In a way that the child won't pick up on right now. He's not attuned to those differences. So then, if you actually require Kiyam Mitzvah, doesn't matter whether he notices or not, it has to be real. But if you're not looking for real, you're just looking for practice for the future, because the future will be real, so then all we care about are those details that the child is able to notice now. But a detail which he's not attuned, not a problem. Now, what we're going to look at tomorrow, let me set up, we're going to pick up tomorrow, I think tomorrow we'll pick up with this. We'll go to Inyan Rosh Hashanah. We did half of this, but you already begin to see a picture on the board. The truth is, if you think about the Urim and the Ri, each one is saying a Chiddush. Right? Each one gave a Teretz, the same Kasha. Each one gave a Chiddush. The Reim's Chiddush was that Chinuch only applies to Mitzvahs. The Ri's Chiddush was Chinuch only applies to the Father. Now, presumably, that's really a double Machlokas. In other words, Reb Lezmi Mitz doesn't know the Ri's Chiddush. Reb Lezmi Mitz assumes, no! Everyone's Mechoyim and Chinuch. And the Ri doesn't know the Urim's Chiddush. And the Ri would say, Mitzvahs and others. You really have a double Machlokas. What we saw so far is the machlokus over the Re'eim's Chiddush is machlokus over Kiyum versus Hargalah. We're going to take a look tomorrow at what's the machlokus over the Re'eim's Chiddush, just as we saw the machlokus over the Re'eim's Chiddush, you know, ballooned into this machlokus with the Ravon. We're going to see tomorrow machlokus over the Re'eim's Chiddush, but whether the Chiddush is on the Father or on everyone, seems like it's rooted in the discussion Rashi and Tosus brachas daf mem ches, and we will see as well two more things. Number one, these two machlokas are not it's separate, independent, and not just in cheshbon they're connected because you have to give one tenth to the kasha. We'll see tomorrow that conceptually they're really two sides of the same coin. Is this two different applications of what's fundamentally the same machlokas? Number one. And number two, we'll see tomorrow how this plays out on the page of Shulchan Aruch. We'll see that the Nosakel and Shulchan Aruch, the Taz and Magaram, seem to be debating this point. We'll see how that plays out.